Please remain standing for the gospel lesson, a reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear the gospel of our Lord. In those days, John the Baptist began preaching in the Judean wilderness. His message was, "Turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near." Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming. Make a straight road for him.'" John's clothes were woven from camel hair, and he wore a leather belt. His food was locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from every section of Judea and from all over the Jordan Valley went out into the wilderness to hear him preach. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to be baptized, he denounced them. "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed, "who warned you to flee God's coming judgment? Prove by the way that you live that you have really turned from your sins and turned to God. Don't just say we're safe. We're the descendants of Abraham. That proves nothing. God can change these stones here into children of Abraham. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever your roots. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the grain with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with a never-ending fire."
Please remain standing in reverence to God's word. A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of our Lord. "Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will never judge by appearance, false evidence, or hearsay. He will defend the poor and the exploited. He will rule against the wicked and destroy them from the breath of his mouth. He will be clothed with fairness and truth. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard and the goat will be at peace. Calves and yearlings will be safe among lions, and a little child will lead them all. The cattle will graze among bears. Cubs and calves will lie down together, and lions will eat grass as the livestock do. Babies will crawl safely among poisonous snakes. Yes, a little child will put his hand in a nest of deadly snakes and pull it out unharmed. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. And as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, for the Lord where he lives will be a glorious place." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The world that we live in today, the time that we live in today, is a day of contradictions, especially this Advent season and as we approach Christmas. It is a time of contradictions. It's a time of extravagance and much in a story of simplicity and humility. We live in a world of commercialism, in a story of simple faith. of humble parents and a child. We live in a world today in peace while we talk about a story. We live in a world at war in a story that's meant to be about peace. We live with these contradictions in our world between the story of Christ, the story of the gospel, the good news, and what the world is really like. Isaiah tells us that one of these days, those contradictions will go away. That the brutality, the violence in our world of terrorism, war, economic collapse, and all those things will one day be gone. They will one day disappear. And we say a lot of times, the lion and the lamb, and it's really in the scripture, it's the wolf and the lamb. But if wolves always laid down with lambs, this would not be an issue, would it? But those two things do not go together. But in Isaiah's vision, they do. So into this world of terrorism, war, famine, disease, violence, brutality, a Savior comes. A Messiah comes. And I love how Isaiah says it. In the midst of all these kinds of things that where these contradictions occur, that a little child shall lead them. That a little child shall lead them. So it's into this world that the Messiah comes to give justice for those who cannot speak for themselves, to those who have been ravaged by war and violence and disease. He comes to offer hope. He comes to make things new. In the first half of Isaiah's vision, there is the good news that we need to hear. That righteousness will come. The one with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and true benevolent power will come. He will come and he will give his life and give himself for us. Now, we don't like to always hear that word of judgment, but judgment can be a good thing. That, you know, when Jesus looks at my life and he says, and he judges something in my life and he says, Tim, that needs to be cut off. And no matter how painful that might be, I need to let him do that. And cut that part of me out. So that a new shoot, can grow up from that stump. A righteous judge will come who will do right for the poor, for the humble, for the helpless. Or as a lot of times we say, for the least, the last, and the lost. This past Thursday, we had a World AIDS Day service here at the church. And kind of my first exposure to a lot of that as far as really trying to learn about the facts and the figures. And many of you probably read in the paper, the article. Maybe you've seen what was online. Every 6 seconds, someone in the world contracts HIV. Every 6 seconds. Every 10 seconds, someone dies from complications to HIV/AIDS. There are 33 million people in the world today with HIV. There are 22 million of those people live in sub-Saharan Africa. And because of the disease, there are 16 million orphans. Now, can you imagine 16 million? The population of New York City proper is 9 million. The population of New York City metropolitan area is 18 million. So there are almost as many orphans as there are residents in the metropolitan area of New York City. Now, can you imagine that? A whole city full of orphans under the age of 18. And that is the world that the Messiah comes into. Those indeed are the least, the last, and the lost. And so he comes for the helpless. He comes to all of us, not so that he can condemn us, but so that he can make us like himself. In order for true righteousness, when true righteousness does come, there will indeed be transformation. Then when the righteousness can come, then the story of the wolf and the lamb can come true. The reality. But it all starts with this small shoot from David's line. From this tribe of Judah. Jesse's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson. That this one person, this shoot that comes forward to make all things new. But the question really for us today is, so what? Where is it at? Where is the new life? Where is it at? Could it be that we do not see this new life? We do not see this resolution of the contradictions? Because we are so busy waiting to be snatched out of the world and let God just kind of judge everything else, and instead of working for his kingdom to come? Or maybe we're just so busy with our own lives that the kingdom is just not that important to us. Oh, we say it is, but we don't really give our lives to it. That's for the clergy, the professional people, or the really, 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 really serious people. What if Jesus' intention was to use you, to use me, to accomplish his purposes in the world, to resolve those contradictions in our world? What if he left that to us to do? So that his work of renewal could be done now, and not some distant future sweet by and by. But it could be done now. But what has to happen in us for that to happen in our world? We can look back over our lives and we can see a lot of stumps, a lot of places that we have failed, a lot of places where we have been victims, places where we have been devastated. There are people in here who have suffered violence. So what does that mean for us? What are we supposed to do with these stumps in our lives? I think that the Spirit wants to come and to grow a shoot, to grow a new tree, to do something new in you that has never been done before. So that it can grow, and that it can give shade and give home and give nest and give birth to so many other things. Not because we're so good, but because of his power. He wants to use you and I so that the contradiction of war and peace can go away. Even that contradiction of war and peace in our own lives. Because there are places in our own lives where we are at war with ourselves. Paul says it himself. Why is it that I do the things that I don't want to do? And by golly, the things I want to do, I just can't. Do you know what that war is like in your life? To know the good that you would do, but God, I just can't seem to quite do it. Or I try very hard, but I fall. Or I fail. Or I do good for a while, but I just kind of, it just kind of gives out. Jesus wants to come and to resolve the contradictions in your life. He wants to come into your life so that you can find hope and healing. So that you can find help in this world. So the title of my sermon is, What is This World Coming To? What does Isaiah say this world's coming to? Isaiah says this world is coming to a place where the wolf and the lamb sit together, where the leopard and the goat play together, and where poisonous snakes will be of no consequence, and they will play, and the children will play next to their dens. That is what the world is coming to. But too often, we think, oh, the world's just going to hell in a handbasket, and we're just content to let that happen. But that's not what Isaiah says. That's not why Jesus died on the cross. That's not why he rose from the dead. He came to give us new life, and to give us new life that is abundant. But we've got to start down that path, because that is what the world is coming to. And let me tell you something. It's going to come to that whether you and I are involved with it or not eventually. Because his purposes will be fulfilled. Now, I don't know about you, but I choose to follow him. I want to be a helper. I want to be a co-worker with God, with the Holy Spirit, so that this vision of Isaiah's will come true. Now, not all will choose to follow. Not all will be made new, because there will be people who continue to choose to go their own way. So I'm not talking this morning about just a, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, and God's just going to accept everybody in the end, and it doesn't matter. It does matter. Your choices matter. I wish it was the other way. It would be nice. But you see, the righteousness has to be there. The transformation has to come in order for the second part of Isaiah's vision to come true. So I ask you today, are you willing to allow God to reconcile the wolves and the lambs in your life? So that we can see his kingdom come? We're going to meet together at his table and be nourished together. I ask and I invite you that if you have never started following Christ, that when you receive the bread, that you would pray, Lord Jesus, come. Come into my life. And maybe there are contradictions in your life that are just so polar opposites that you do not see how there could ever be any reconciliation. Do not diminish the power of the cross. But when you take the bread, pray, Lord Jesus, come and make me new. I have followed you, but there are just things in my life that I have not been willing to lay at your feet. There have been things, and I've been hurt too bad, and it's just been too much for me. And I can't take it anymore. Will you come and take it? And maybe you've never thought about how your part would be in the reconciliation of the world. I invite you that when you take the bread, that you pray, Heavenly Father, show me the way that I can go to be your instrument of peace in this world, so that the contradictions in this world could be reconciled and your kingdom would come on earth and in my life as it is being done right now in heaven. Let us pray. Eternal God, we're thankful for your word. We confess to you that we do not always live up to it, because we do not understand it fully enough. We ask today that you would reconcile the contradictions in our lives, that we might know you more fully. Amen. If you would turn in your hymnals to number 13 to our service of Word and Table.